Father, we ask that you would bless this time together, that your words would come forth, that your truth would come forth, Lord, that you would bless us by your Spirit and by your word. In Yeshua's name, amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting in verse 18. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. This parsha, like others, covers a wide variety of issues. Chapter 16 deals with appointing judges. Chapter 17 again forbids the practice of Canaanite idolatry and also sets up the procedures for selecting a king. Chapter 18 designates the priest's portions of both sacrifices and first fruits. Chapter 19 begins again by describing the rules about the cities of refuge. Chapter 20 describes the preparations for war. And chapter 21 describes the law of the unknown corpse. Shoftim is one of the most fundamental Torah portions in terms of how to set up a moral, safe, and wholesome society. The word Shoftim means judges, referring to the Torah's obligations for us to set up courts, appoint judges, police officers, and other municipal and national officials in order to ensure a functioning society. Not only are we told which offices and institutions must be established, but the Torah also goes into minute detail on who is to fill these positions. Not just anyone can serve as a judge, and not just anyone can serve as a police officer. It has to be righteous individuals with impeccable dignity and integrity. Individuals whose reputation for honesty, fairness, and impartiality precedes them. Our officials must be people who are careful, thought out, wise, and impartial. Moses continues his last speech to the Israelites before he dies, saying, "Judges shall be appointed to judge the people with justice." That's a tongue twister. "You shall not twist judgment by recognizing a face or accepting bribery, because both blind the eyes of the wise and cause the words of the righteous to falter. Justice, justice shall you pursue, so that you may live and take possession of the land which God has given you." Looking at our society today, is this even possible? I look around and I wonder, are there a few? I'm sure there are. There's always a remnant. There's always a remnant of these types of people today. The Torah goes on and tells us that if you find an individual who does evil in the eyes of God and transgresses God's covenant, then you shall make careful inquiry. If it turns out to be true, according to the word of two or three witnesses, then that person shall die. No one shall be put to death on the basis of the word of only one witness. If the matter is too difficult for you to decide between blood and blood, between right and right, between damage and damage, then you shall come to the priests for judgment. Moses instructs the people of Israel to appoint judges and law enforcement officers in every city. "Justice, justice shall you pursue," he commands them, "and you must administer it without corruption or favoritism. Crimes must be meticulously investigated and evidence thoroughly examined, and a minimum of two credible witnesses is required for conviction and punishment." A minimum of two credible witnesses. We also see this in Timothy chapter 5, where Paul's speaking about accusations against an elder or an overseer. Matthew 18, verses 15 and 16 speak of this when someone sins against you. The law laid out in Scripture applies today if we would only take it to heart. In every generation, says Moses, there will be those entrusted with the task of interpreting and applying the laws of the Torah. According to the law, they will teach you, and the judgment they will instruct you, and you shall do. You shall not turn away from the thing that they say to you to the right or to the left. Judges. Judges today. We have both good and bad. We have both moral and corrupt. And that's unfortunate. God's plan for justice was laid out for the Israelites. It was pretty well clear cut. Trust, integrity, and morality were the keys. Today we have a system that administers justice as man sees fit. We have developed loopholes so that justice is not served in all cases. Sometimes it seems you get as much justice as you can afford. As a law enforcement officer, I was careful not to step on people's rights. Was careful what to say. Because if a person commits murder or any other crime, and the arresting officer fails to notify them of their rights, they could go free. Plain and simple. Or if a confession was coerced, they could go free. Oh, that we would just return to what God had laid out for us in His law. And unfortunately, today we have man's law overriding God's law in many, many cases. When we were homeschooling our children, we were challenged. We had to submit to the state our reasons for homeschooling our children. We had to show them a compelling religious reason why we were teaching our children at home. Well, for us, that was pretty easy. We quoted the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, but specifically verse 7, where it says, impress them upon your children, talk to them about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. We also quoted James 4, 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Needless to say, we were approved. They accepted our reasons for homeschooling our children. Challenge. Always challenge. Always a challenge. Everybody, has anyone here ever been selected for jury duty? Did you actually serve? No. You ever wonder why? Right. I've been down there several times. I've gone through the process. I've never been selected. It seems that they do not like ordained ministers and retired law enforcement officers. Neither side does. Neither side. But why? I wonder why, what they're afraid of. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of impartiality and fair consideration of the facts. Makes you wonder. In summary, although we may not be judges or government representatives or law enforcement officers, we should all strive to do what is good. The world judges the church by the behavior of its members. Ever notice how an unbeliever knows exactly how a Christian should behave and holds them to that standard? They're looking at us. Just the other day I read where, unfortunately, another misled pastor caused, I'm not going to go into details, but basically one of the comments about this situation was, and that's why I don't go to church anymore. Let us not be the cause of such a statement. We should set an example for what they long for. They should long for what we have. And that's what we should strive to do. Shabbat Shalom.